Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And this morning we are going to be considering verses 7 through 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Pray with me. Our God and Father, as we come to consider your word this morning, we pray that your Spirit would press your truth deep into our hearts, that we would know and take joy in its riches. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, our focus text will be verses 7 through 12. And I will begin reading at verse 1, though, for context. Hear now the very word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Amen. Well, beloved in Christ, as Paul recognized God's work in Ephesus, he couldn't but begin his letter to the saints there by starting with doxology. He couldn't but begin by having an outpouring of praise to God. And Paul praised the God of grace and peace. He praised the God who extends grace and peace to his people. We have grace from God and peace with God in Jesus Christ. Now, last week, we started to consider Paul's prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Praise came from his lips to God the Father for the spiritual blessings that he has given to us in Christ. And last week, we began our dive into the riches of Christ that God reveals to us in this chapter. As I mentioned, even in the greeting, his word is meaty, and even in the beginning parts of this prayer, praise and thanksgiving, it's also meaty. It goes from 3 feet to 20 pretty rapidly. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful. These beginning verses of Paul's prayer were indeed rich, weren't they? All praise and glory be to our God for his excellencies and his benefits. For he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And further, we are encouraged and have joy knowing that these blessings aren't earthly blessings. They aren't temporary blessings. They won't fade away from those the Lord bestows them to. They are true spiritual blessings. The Holy Spirit applies every one of them to his saints, the faithful in Christ. The Father bestows these blessings upon us because we are united to Christ by faith. And so as Paul dove into the details of these blessings, so did we. We've seen that these blessings are those that span time and eternity. They span time and eternity. We began where he began in considering the wonder of election, God's sovereign choosing of his people. Election rightly begins and belongs at the beginning of Paul's list of spiritual blessings, because it's really the source of all of the other blessings. It's the foundation of them. God's election of his people is grounded in God's sovereignty, in his good pleasure, which if you note in the text that we're looking at today, that's repeated time and time again. Important. It's grounded in his good pleasure. It's grounded in his sovereign will to choose some unto salvation. And it was an unconditional choice that God made in eternity past, even as Paul said, from before the foundation of the world. He is the God who elects, and elects his people unto holiness, Paul taught us. God foreordained our salvation as well as our sanctification, our growth in grace. And how wonderful a blessing it is to have been chosen by God to belong to him, as well as chosen to be holy and blameless before him. This is a work of the Spirit. It's one he will bring to completion when Christ returns. We will be perfect in holiness. And we're also blessed to be the recipients of the spiritual blessing of adoption, are we not? God has predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Christ to himself, Paul taught us. God foreordained that we would be redeemed by Christ and adopted as children into the family of God. And this is a blessing that brings us into a familial relationship with God. It's a blessing in which God also grants us rights and privileges of being his children. We are heirs. Think about that. We are heirs with Christ and have been given a rich inheritance that won't fade away. Adoption is truly a great spiritual blessing, as it flows from the fount of every blessing, that being our great God and his love and grace. And so we've been blessed to consider and to know more of the Father who elects. And in today's text, we will consider more blessings in the work of the Son who redeems. The Son who redeems. Paul teaches us here about the glorious riches of our redemption in Jesus Christ. And we will consider our redemption through the blood of Christ in verse 7a. And the abounding riches of his grace throughout the rest of our passage, 7b through 12. And so in 7a, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Beloved in Christ, this morning we consider a most wonderful a truly marvelous spiritual blessing that God has given us, our redemption through the blood of his Son. The word redemption means deliverance. It means deliverance as from slavery or captivity. It refers to such deliverance by the payment of a ransom, the payment of a price. And Scripture teaches us that we were dead in our trespasses and slaves to sin. Being spiritually dead, there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. If we were to be saved, we would have to be delivered. And that's exactly what Jesus did for his people. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says this: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Paul also spoke to the church in Rome regarding slavery to sin and deliverance in Christ in Romans chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. He said there, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which regard to of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so Jesus came to redeem us by giving his own life as the ransom, as the price for our redemption. He has redeemed us from spiritual slavery and bondage to sin. Jesus has redeemed us from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. He has delivered us from the guilt of sin, from the punishment due to us because of our sins. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So great the things he has done for us. A spiritual blessing the Father has given us is redemption. And notice how Paul says that redemption was accomplished in verse 7a. Through the shedding of Christ's blood. It's through the shedding of his blood that we have the forgiveness of sins. And reality is that we are all sinners, every one of us. There is no exception. We were born in sin. We were born guilty of the sin of our first parents. We were also born in a state of pollution and corruption. We sin because we have a sin nature. Paul told the saints later in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." It's an important thing to understand, my friends. The true depravity of man. We were dead in trespasses and sins. No life. No glimpse of life, no hope in and of ourselves. There was nothing good in us. But that points us to the joy and the glory and the wonder and the beauty of Christ. For he did it all for us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Again, we are brought back to grace. So what is sin? Sin is any want or lack of conformity to or the transgression of God's law. We've all broken God's law in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Sin isn't only in our actions, what we have done or what we have left undone. It's deep in our hearts. It's in our nature. We sin because we're sinners. And so Paul sets redemption marvelously before our eyes. Christ paid the full price for our sins on the cross. Christ has truly and fully ransomed us from the curse, the guilt, the power, and the punishment of sin. We truly have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hear what he said to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus truly was our propitiation. He was the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied the wrath of God. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 said this: "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" My friends, Jesus paid it all. And his payment was sufficient. It's complete and full. There is nothing else owed. Truly amazing. We have full and complete forgiveness in him. And what did Paul say that such redemption was according to in 7b? He says, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Here again, brothers and sisters, we are confronted by the work of God's glorious grace. According to the riches of his grace. How boundless is the grace and the favor of God to us in Christ. His grace is not some surface deal that you get at Walmart. It's not a secondhand product, not even a third or a fourth hand. His grace is rich. It is deep. It has such value and significance because it is the unmerited favor of the living God. And so this redemption is ours by what Christ did on the cross according to the riches of that grace. And you are the recipient of that grace. I don't care how many times you hear about the sacrifice of Christ and the glorious truth of the gospel, for we need it every day in our hearts. Be blown away and be impacted by the work and the love and the favor of God toward you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now note how God made the riches of his grace abound to us. Paul says, in all wisdom and prudence, redemption was executed and carried out according to his perfect wisdom and will. In his perfect wisdom and will, God has also made known to us the mystery of his will, Paul said. Verse 9 and 10, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. If you go back, beloved, and you take a survey of how many times that simple preposition, that simple phrase, in him, is used in this chapter, you will be blessed. We are pointed time and time again back to Christ. It is in him that God did these things. It is because of him. It is according to his will. It is for his glory. And so what is the mystery that Paul refers to regarding God's will? Paul here is briefly referring to what he will expand on in chapter 3. God has united Jews and Gentiles together in the church. He has made them fellow heirs of the promise in Christ. And for some who were in Paul's audience, that may have been a novel teaching. But Paul was teaching them about what is true in the church. How God had composed and comprised the church. How God is building his church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. Help us to see this. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So again, as we'll even consider this more when we get into chapter 3, that the gospel went forth to the Gentiles. As God was building his church, he was doing so both Jew and Gentile together, united in one in Christ. And Paul teaches us in verse 10 that this mystery was revealed according to God's good pleasure in the fullness of the times. So in this fullness of time, God is gathering things together in one in Christ. And what does this mean? John Calvin, I think, helps us to understand it a bit when he says that out of Christ, all things were disordered. And that through him, they have been restored to order. Matthew Henry also said this, all the lines of divine revelation meet in Christ. All religion centers in him. Jews and Gentiles are united to each other by being both united to Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth are gathered together in him. Peace made, correspondence settled between heaven and earth through him. It was his design in that dispensation which was to be accomplished by his sending Christ in the fullness of time at the exact time that God had prefixed and settled. And in verses 11 and 12, we read this, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, we've talked about many aspects of our adoption in Christ last week, as that was one of the spiritual blessings that Paul focused on in verses 3 through 6. But note three important repetitions here. Paul references us back to our inheritance as sons and daughters by adoption here. Secondly, he points out that all things are according to the counsel of God's will. Again, we see that over and over again. Everything that God does is according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleases him. He desires to do it. And thirdly, we are to the praise of his glory. We are to the praise of his glory. He says that time and again, has he not, even in these first 12 verses. And as we consider the Son who redeems, the reason for his work is pressed home. All is according to his will and for the praise of his glory. And so, my friends, I encourage you to consider this. Consider our redemption in Christ and know it to be a wonderful spiritual blessing from God, according to the riches of his grace. Consider and know more deeply the love of Christ for you. O children of God, we are the ones that Christ came in the fullness of time to ransom and to free from bondage, to break from the power of sin in our lives, to free us from the guilt and the punishment of sin by the shedding of his blood on the cross for us. In Christ, we have been truly redeemed. We have been set free. We have been brought into the family of God. And in Christ, we have complete forgiveness of our sins. He paid it all and he accomplished it all. There's nothing else that's to be owed. Praise him for that. There is no more debt for your sin if you're in Christ. Truly, we must praise him for his grace. We are to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.